As was reflected through our prayers, through our songs, and the reading of Psalm 118, God is our strength. We, out of our weakness and frailty, appeal to God and His strength. And we have reflected in our prayers of thanksgiving on what happened in 2019, the blessings that occurred. But we all know that we live in a fallen world where there is sin and suffering and sorrow. And with those blessings often is mingled sorrow and difficulty and challenges. And as we think about 2020, and Brother Troy prays for blessing and strength, I would imagine in 2020 there will be much of the same. Blessings, joys, but sorrows, challenges, and difficulties. Because we live in a fallen world where sin, suffering, and sorrow commingle with victory and blessing. Our enemy is at work. We recognize that. But our God is also at work. And that's why we've all assembled tonight, to tap into His power. We draw near to Him. We take refuge in Him, as the psalmist said in Psalm 18 that Brian read. With that in mind, the idea of taking refuge in God, I want to share a story with you. And I have shared this story here several times. And it's titled The Chase. And I'm going to put it on the screen and I'm going to read it. And I'm going to let you see the words. It's a story shared by E.M. Bounds in his book on prayer that a man named A.C. Dixon shared with him, who was a 19th century Bible expositor, somebody who respected the Bible. And he tells a story which illustrates a powerful truth as to how God responds when we draw near to Him with all of our might. Now, when we read this story, there's going to be some deer hounds in this story. So for those of you who, I had to look it up, a deer hound is a hound that was raised and bred to pursue and chase red deer. It's a Scottish hound, similar to a greyhound, but thicker and broader and fuzzier. We're going to read about a fawn. Again, for those of you city folks, a fawn is a baby deer. This is the story. And again, I've shared it several times, but let's read it. Rising early one morning, I heard the bang of a score of deer hounds in pursuit of their quarry. Looking away to a broad open field in front of me, I saw a young fawn making its way across and giving signs, moreover, that its race was well nigh run. Reaching the rails of the enclosure, it leaped over and crouched within 10 feet from where I stood. A moment later, two of the hounds came over and the fawn ran in my direction and pushed its head between my legs. I lifted the little thing to my breast and, swinging round and round, fought off the dogs. I felt just then that all the dogs in the West could not and should not capture that fawn after its weakness had appealed to my strength. So it is when human helplessness appeals to the Almighty God. As we see in this story, unable to escape its adversaries, this weak pitiable, desperate baby deer draws near to a man, seeks refuge in a mortal man, and therefore brings to bear the power of one stronger and mightier to fight on its behalf. But what was at the core of this man's willingness to rescue this pitiful animal? Well, he says, when its weakness appealed to my strength. This is what inspired him to rescue this innocent fawn. Then he connects his response to God's response to us, when because of our sin, our weakness, our frailty, we call out to God to rescue us. And I realize that this incident doesn't perfectly illustrate God's response to mankind's appeal for help. The point he's making here is, look at how a weak and sinful man pities and rescues a desperate, dumb animal. I think better stories would be the actual stories told to us in the gospel themselves. We see in Luke 15 the parable of the prodigal son. And when that son starts coming back to his father, does the father stand there and wait? No, when that father sees the son, he runs to the son. That better illustrates God's response to our calling out to him. And I think about the parable of the persistent widow as recorded in Luke chapter 18. And she had an adversary who was harassing her, and he was unjust. And God, as this unjust, illustrated here by the unjust, God's not unjust. Think about what he will do for us through our persistent prayer. I think about in the Gospel of Mark, over and over again, early on in chapters 4 and 5, we see Jesus encountering people who are in helpless and desperate situations. In Mark chapter 4, remember Jesus and his disciples are in the boat, and the wind whips up, and it's horrific, and they're fearful they're going to die. They are desperate, and they are helpless, and they cry out to him, and he saves them. I think of Mark chapter 5, where there is the man who is in the tombs, wailing and moaning and cutting himself. He is harassed by a demonic spirit, an unclean spirit. He is in a desperate situation, and Jesus responds to him and casts out the unclean spirit into the swine. And then there's Jairus and his daughter who is dying, and he appeals to Jesus, come, save my daughter, she's sick. And on the way, Jesus encounters the woman who has the issue of blood. And it had cost her all kinds of money throughout her life. It had basically bankrupted her. Jesus, she was in a desperate situation and helpless. Jesus responds to her and then goes and responds to Jairus' daughter, who by the time he got there had died. All these encounters Jesus has with desperate and helpless people, and he remedies their situation, show us, number one, he has power over the elements. He has power over the unclean spirits. He has power even over death itself. And more than that, as recorded in Mark chapter 2, remember the paralyzed man who was dropped down into the midst of Jesus as he's teaching there? Jesus says to him, son, your sins are forgiven you. And the response of the scribes and the Pharisees around him, who but God alone can forgive sin? And Jesus says, so you will know that I also have the power to forgive sins. Rise up and walk. Jesus has power even to forgive sins. So, in Mark chapter 6, after Jesus had encountered all these people and had done all these things, in verse 34 we're told that he came ashore and he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And his response was that he began to teach them. So all the power we see in Jesus and his miracles, his ability to have power over all these things, says to us that he has power to help us. In 2020, like 2019, he has the power to strengthen us. He has the power to bless us. We, all of us, what we have done is come to him in our weakness and appeal to his strength. So with that in mind, I think about Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Hear my teaching, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's make 2019 a year where we appeal to his strength more and more and more out of our weakness. If you're not a Christian, you can appeal to his strength out of your sinful condition, your lost and undone condition. You're separate from him, and you can't get access to the power he has to forgive your sins unless you come to him out of your desperate condition. And it's desperate. Hell is the consequence. Eternal separation is the consequence, and that is a desperate, terrible place to be. You can obey the gospel tonight, expressing your belief that he's the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. You can repent and turn from your way and run to him. And as one man so eloquently put it, you take one step in his direction, he's coming in yours 100. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If anybody's subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.